Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bertola and Eric.
All right, technical difficulties. Go ahead.
All right, well, I guess that'll get us going. Another edition of Hot Takes. pretty much perfect way to get us going here. As we kind of had last week off, we actually have our episode done, but we had no way of distributing it, and just going to pick up from where we left off. Of course, I am Eric Nifong, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong and joined by Nolan Haig at NJH09. And what happened on your end over there?
I don't know. I was trying to play the song, and it got about 10 seconds in and stopped. So I tried to just start it back up again, but it still wouldn't work, so I figured we might as well just get to it. the fun we have trying to get this thing on the air.
Yeah, well, we should be good with that going this week. So hopefully, like I said, we did an episode last week. We kind of just talked about where we left off in the playoffs. Warriors closing out the Thunder, come back from 3-1. We talked about the Cavs advancing to the finals. We talked a little bit about the rematch. We also talked a little baseball, a little Royals, and that was pretty much it. But, yeah, our picks from the week before leave us here. I'm 6-4, and Nolan is 5-5. 1-1 with my upsets, 0-2 with your upsets. So we just kind of pick up on the show this week. Wherever we want to go. I know we have a couple things we want to talk about here, NBA Finals, and I want to talk some UFC stuff. It's been kind of a crazy weekend on that end.
Yeah, yeah, we've actually had a lot of stuff going on. So, yeah, whatever you want to do first, let's get into it.
All right, well, let's go into a little UFC 199 here. It was a pretty big card coming in. It was supposed to be Luke Rockhold defending his middleweight title against Chris Weidman in their second fight. Weidman ended up having to pull out, and it became Luke Rockhold and Michael Bisping, too. Luke Rockhold won the first one. This one coming in, Bisping was the huge underdog, but proved to the doubters wrong and finally achieved his goal. First title fight in the long career of Bisping, who was all the way back on the Ultimate Fighter 3 or 5, I believe it's 3, but yeah, he finally is a middleweight champion coming off a victory over Anderson Silva, and now can say that he was champion in the middleweight division in the UFC. So I think his career is kind of complete. Luke Rockhold got caught with a big knockout. Were you able to catch the fight at all?
No, but I did get your tweet, which let me look into it. Yeah, no, definitely great for Michael Bisping. He's definitely been around a while. It's good to see him, yeah, to get to that, I guess, you know, that kind of plateau, that point, peak point. He can always look back on and say he was champion of the world at one point. But, yeah, that belt's been kind of bouncing around, kind of been crazy to see. It'd be nice to see somebody defend it. Once or twice, but I'm sure he'll get a chance.
Well, Chris Weidman defended it a couple times, but yeah, you're right. Ever since Anderson Silva lost it, it has. It's we've had 3 new champions: Weidman, Rockhold, and now Bisping. So, kind of interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see where Bisping, who he defends his title against next. There's a couple of guys who are willing or deserving: Jacare. You could argue Rockhold deserves a rematch. He, of course, beat Bisping in the first one. Only right that they have a trilogy fight. He might have to fight another one. Weidman could always have his fight that that was originally supposed to be here. So a lot of options for USC, and middleweight division is loaded with talent, and it's very, very open. First time in a very long time, probably in history of the UFC. So, yeah, good to see. And also on that card, we had another title fight. It was Dominic Cruz, bantamweight champion, defending against Uriah Faber. It was their third matchup, each with a victory of their own. But Cruz just proved to be one of the best bantamweights in the world. Really dominated Uriah, actually knocked him down in the second round. And Uriah was never able to put any offense together, which tends to be the moral of the story in Dominic Cruz fights. He's so unorthodox, it's hard to be able to time him and put any offense on him. So, yeah, that was also a good fight. It was overall a good card. A lot of finishes, a lot of great knockouts, and we got to see Dan Henderson get a big victory, and, yeah, maybe his last fight as well. So we'll have to see. It could have been possibly Uriah Faber and Dan Henderson's last fights in the USC and of their careers.
Yeah, no, that'd definitely be a shame to see them go. They've definitely made their contributions to the sport. But looking ahead, now we've got the big event, UFC 200 coming up. I know there's a big announcement in the last few days over a surprise return to the octagon for one guy. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, actually we will have three fight nights before that, an Ultimate Fighter finale. Actually, leading up to UFC 200, there are three straight nights of cards on July 7th, 8th, and 9th is 200. So huge time for fight fans, and it's going to be a big summer for fight fans. But like you were saying, Brock Lesnar, he's making his return. First time he's fought since losing to Alistair Overeem, and he is going to be taking on Mark Hunt, that we learned today. So big fight, very unexpected. He is under contract with the WWE, but the WWE apparently is letting him fight this one fight as long as he appears on SummerSlam and some other WWE events, pay-per-views. Not really sure what all goes into that, but yeah, Brock Lesnar making his return, and looks like he's already pushed up to a co-main event. So I kind of wonder here, is this a big reason why they weren't concerned about having Conor on this card, because they knew Brock Lesnar was in the works? But you also have to question, he hasn't fought in over 5 years, so we'll have to see. And he's fighting one of the strongest and most powerful dudes in the UFC's heavyweight division. So it's going to be big.
Yeah, that's
big.
Right, yeah, but I don't know. That's what seems kind of fishy to me. I mean, it almost seems like a kind of a last second cover move by we lost the McGregor fight. We're not going to be able to do that. So now we've got to get somebody who we know will be a big draw. And obviously, Lesnar has that name recognition. And like you said, he hasn't fought in so long. And the matchup of the fight. I was curious to know how you felt about that. I mean, it seems like it could end very quickly for Brock Lesnar if he's at all rusty and leaves himself exposed to those strikes.
Yeah, actually, I don't know. I kind of think that this fight was in the works for a long time. Actually caused a journalist some problems, which I think we'll get to here in a little bit. But yeah, I think this fight's been in the works ever since this event was announced months back. They said that there was going to be an it fight on the card. Never really developed. Now here we are. So I think maybe just behind the scenes, it was trying to get a deal done with the WWE for him to be able to fight. And I don't know. I don't feel like Brock in the UFC would come in like this on 1 month's notice against a guy that dangerous. and just trying to train and fight. I think he takes it seriously and knows he can get hurt if he doesn't go in there with the best training he can have. So we'll have to see what goes on there. But definitely a huge draw. If there's one guy that draws bigger than Conor McGregor, it's Brock Lesnar. So also, I don't know if you saw the UFC 200 promo, but it kind of gave me chills a little bit. So definitely a good time. Going to be a great card. There's three title fights. Now that fight, we get to see former champ Cain Velasquez, former welterweight champ Johnny Hendricks, and former bantamweight champ TJ Dillashaw. So going to be a huge card. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, definitely looking forward for it to deliver. But like you said, there was kind of some controversy coming out of the Brock Lesnar announcement. There was actually a reporter who reported it before the UFC had announced it, and I guess there was the UFC didn't appreciate that very much. And they escorted him out of UFC 199 before the main event of that card. What all do you know about that, and what do you think about it?
What I know is Ariel Helwani sent some tweets last night that he was escorted out of the building before the main event. Dana White went to talk to him, was very upset, said Lorenzo Fertitta was tired of it. He got his credentials and he's banned for life, not able to come back. This morning they came on, Dana White said he can cover events. He just lost his credentials. But just a couple hours here before we came on air, it was announced that his ban was actually lifted. So it didn't take very long. You have to believe the UFC faced a lot of controversy from media and people who cover that sport, because you can't really do that. All the guy was doing was reporting the news, doing his job. If it got leaked out, you should be mad at the guy who leaked it out, not the guy who's reporting it. I think that the UFC overreacted a little bit to what Ariel Helwani did, and Helwani's one of the best UFC reporters out there. He said it earlier. He's not going to win a Pulitzer Prize, but all he does is report fights, and that's what he does well. He's never wrong, and he gets big scoops. So I definitely think it was a bad look for the UFC to do what they did at first. But they kind of righted the ship here in the last couple of hours by reinstating his credentials, I guess.
Yeah, I did see that. I definitely did the right thing by realizing their mistake, especially with, a guy so respected within the sport, at least by the media in the sport. I saw a tweet that kind of said something that was the NFL doesn't ban Adam Schefter for breaking stories. That's just not really how that should go. If you have a leak within your organization and you don't want anything to be out, that's kind of on you.
Yeah, I think the UFC kind of has to take a step back and look at, do they want to be known as an entertainment business or sporting business? Because I think there's a big difference. If they want to do entertainment, then they kind of can create their own sort of media. I know that they were probably upset because they had a big promo planned. No one had any idea Brock Lesnar was going to be on the card. He had the surprise appearance at the end. But Helwani was just doing his job, and you can't fault the guy for doing that, and you can't just come out and suspend someone for breaking news. Keep it a little quieter, I guess. I don't know really what to say. It's hard to do in today's age, I'll say that, but
with everybody. With everybody wanting to be first if anything, he was being a good reporter, doing his job. Just finding things out and getting it to the people. But yeah, if you don't want somebody to steal your thunder, then I guess lock down your information better.
Yeah, I definitely think whatever source Helwani got that from, that's who the UFC should have been mad at. Not that they'd find out who that was, but definitely took it out on the wrong person. And definitely good that they gave him his credentials back, and they're not going to let this thing boil over anymore. We should see it kind of simmer down now here in the next couple of days, because it actually a lot of people were talking about the UFC today, and big news and big fight card, and I don't think Helwani ruined it at all by doing what he did.
No, yeah, I mean, if anything, it's just going to create more publicity going forward. It's just, yeah, all going to build momentum for him.
Yeah, definitely. So, I also know that you had asked me what I thought on the matchup with Brock Lesnar and Mark Hunt here. It's going to be interesting to see. Can Brock Lesnar outlast Mark Hunt, and can he get him to the ground? I think that's where Lesnar, of course, is gonna dominate if he is gonna win. He's an All-American wrestler. He's not just a fake wrestler. He was actually a really good amateur wrestler in college, and I think that's where he could win this fight. I could see this fight going like the Shane Carwin fight, where he just outlasts the punches in the first round, kind of wears Mark Hunt down, takes him to the ground the second round, and maybe submits him. But could also wind up being like his last fight against Alistair Overeem, where he succumbed to punches in the first round. So we'll have to see. But pretty exciting that he's back.
Definitely. All right. Anything else you got for UFC or MMA?
No, not in the UFC, but in the MMA, before we came on here, just about 20 minutes, it's reported that Kimbo Slice has actually died
right
at age of 42.
Yeah.
To undisclosed reasons as of right now. Was scheduled to fight in July here, last fought in February for Bellator. A very surprising ordeal, and wishes go out to Kimbo Slice family and friends, and just real sad news to hear. It'll be interesting to see what happened, and very sad.
Yeah, definitely sad day, especially, I guess we might as well touch on this. I was going to anyway, with also the loss of another, well, maybe not, and obviously a more famous fighter, really a legendary fighter, Muhammad Ali, passed away on Friday night, I believe it was, at 74 years old. Of course, iconic figure in American history, not just sports history, with all the things that he did. He ended up having a lot of health problems later in life, and he finally succumbed, and just a shame, but also life that should be celebrated.
Yeah, no doubt. He was more than just an athlete. He really changed a lot of things. I'm not going to sit here and say that I know what kind of impact it had, but because I didn't live through it. I didn't live through the times that Muhammad Ali was alive, but he was definitely a great pioneer for black athletes and just black people in general in this country, and it's definitely a big loss for the sports world, and he's definitely the greatest boxer, even though I never got to watch him. I've watched most of his fights, and it would have been a real pleasure to go back and be able to see a time when boxing ruled, and to see a guy like that rule. There might not be an athlete ever like him again in person. So definitely a huge loss for everyone there.
Yeah, he definitely changed the way people perceived athletes and how they were able to interact with him through the media, and definitely became just a huge popular figure that a lot of people seem to know, or at least feel like they knew. It just totally changed everything, and with the persona and how he went about things.
Yeah, and it should be noted that it wasn't always like that. He was ridiculed at times, but definitely revered for what he ended up doing. So
yeah, what's up with 2016? Just taking everybody.
I don't know. Definitely a big turning point, but you hate to see it, but just kind of.
Are we just getting old? Is that what that is?
I think so. I think so.
Oh man. All right. Well, let's, I guess, move to slightly less depressing matters.
Unless you're a Cleveland
I guess we can
fan.
Talk about the NBA. Right. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah. I mean, either or, you know, Cleveland finals. Obviously, the Warriors are up 2-0 after two pretty easy wins. They won both games by combined 48 points, the most ever in a finals by a team who won the first two games in a finals. Only one team has come back from being down two games to none since 1984, and that was the 2006 Heat. Dwayne Wade, of course, going crazy. So, yeah, it doesn't look good for the Cavs.
Yeah, and while you say that, teams with the MVP that have gone up 2-0 in the finals are 71-0 all time. So, kind of...
Yes, odds are stacked against Cleveland. Just nothing's working, right? Their small lineup's getting crushed. Their normal lineup isn't doing better.
They're trying to play to the Warriors' strengths, and I think even throughout the playoffs, the one thing that beat the Warriors, the way the Thunder were able to beat the Warriors, is their size and their length, and they didn't go away from that. They played quote unquote a small ball lineup, but they still had they had more size and more length than the Warriors could throw out there. The Cavs are trying to match them with their small ball lineup, and it's not working. They might have to try and go big, not the whole game, but I just think they're kind of outmatched. They don't have the talent that the Warriors have, and Kyrie Irving is getting roasted on the defensive end, kind of something I've talked about for a while. Not the best defender when it comes to point guards. But he needs to step up his game. He also only provided 10 points in the second game. The Cavs just kind of looked down and out. They were hanging their heads, and it's going to be tough. They're going home. Role players should play better there, but they need something. The bench has been destroying the Cavs, and there was a lot of talk that the Warriors kind of got by easier last year because these guys got hurt for the Cavs, but the Warriors are showing that they wanted to prove everyone wrong. They've had this rematch in their mind all year. This is what they wanted, and they're taking it to the Cavs. They're showing that they want to prove this more than the Cavs right now, and the Cavs are going to have to show us something. Otherwise, this series and the NBA season could be over here quickly.
No, yeah, I mean it was easy to say, oh, well, it should be a better series this time around because Cleveland's at full strength. But you forget that the Warriors are a year better and historically better at that. It just seems like Cleveland just cannot match up. It seemed like they played a pretty decent offensive game in game one. I mean, you got nearly a triple double from LeBron. You got 26 from Kyrie. You got 17 from Kevin Love, but virtually nothing off the bench, and you still lose by 15. especially when you're getting crushed by the Warriors bench and Clay and Steph aren't giving you hardly anything at all. But then, yeah, the second game was just a disaster. You end up getting Kevin Love with a concussion, which, I mean, I guess now if he doesn't play, that could actually be a positive. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem like they have a lot of options. You were talking about Kyrie on the defensive end just not being good. You can't have Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, it seems, on the floor at the same time playing defense. I just don't have any answers for Cleveland.
Yeah, you mentioned game one box score. Kyrie had 26 points in that game, but he also gave up 20 points to
22.
John Livingston, who had never scored 20 points in a playoff game. And Kyrie just – Sean Livingston had his way. He had his way with him in the regular season too. He can just – he has the size, and he'll just take Kyrie to the paint and just pull up over him. And it's not much that can be done. But, I don't know at this point what you do if you're Cleveland. LeBron's kind of disappeared. He's not really scoring. He needs to score a lot more. He scored a lot more last year. I actually think that maybe the two guys getting hurt last year was actually an advantage for the Cavs because LeBron was forced to step up. LeBron needs to act like those guys aren't there and do what he did last year. But knowing he has some guys with some help, and other than that, I don't really know what the Cavs can do, but they need to get it together and get it together fast.
Yeah, I don't know. They are going back to Cleveland, so that you imagine that will help a little bit, but it's not going to help if they play like they did in game two. I just feel like at best case scenario for Cleveland, they split these next two games and somehow managed to lose in only 5 or 6.
You would like to think that LeBron's greatness would get Cleveland 1 or 2 wins. If they get swept, though, there's going to be a lot of questions going into the offseason, a lot of questions, and maybe a lot of shakeups in Cleveland. We'll have to see. So hopefully for Cleveland fans, they don't have to worry about that. They've gone through enough, and they don't need to worry about if LeBron's going to leave them again, because that would just be one of the biggest shots to Cleveland ever if their golden child left them again. So,
yeah.
For their sake,
but
I hope they get a couple games here.
Yeah. But how good you got to feel if you're the Warriors, though? You escaped that series against the Thunder after a team that actually challenged you. I feel like they just played their finals. I mean, if they come into this series and Cleveland's just obviously not as good of a team as the best teams in the West, and I don't know. It's just
– Yeah, I mean
– they must feel like they're playing the Blazers again.
Yeah, well, the Blazers actually put up more of a fight than Cleveland's putting up right now. The Blazers never lost by 33 in any of those games. So I just think that Cleveland, they had an easy ride through the playoffs. We didn't really have to see them with it face any adversity. Yeah, Toronto tied them 2-2, but I think they knew all along they were a better team. They can't say that against Golden State. And I think when this team's hit with adversity, I think it kind of hits the mentality of Cleveland and not in a good way. We could talk about this for a while, but I kind of wonder, guys like Love and Kyrie, if you're playing in the NBA for so long on so many losing teams, if that kind of affects you and affects the way you can close out games and how you play in big moments. It's hard. Neither one of those guys had made the playoffs until LeBron got there. Now they're expected to win the championship all of a sudden, and you kind of wonder what effect that has on their psyche when things don't go their way.
Which which I guess brings me, or would bring, I guess, the logic that I'm seeing a lot of people take is that you got to bring that back on LeBron, right? I mean, he picked this team. He, when he decided he wanted to come back, he decided, okay, we're going to keep Kyrie. We're going to bring in Kevin Love. Or that's what he, you know, requested or appeared to want. I mean, is... So, I mean, yeah, so what happens? Does he get to just blow it up and start over? Or
we all know he's a free agent, so he could leave. I don't think he would do that again. It would tarnish his legacy too much. But if they get swept, I think that's a real possibility. And also, I think you have to trade – you have to look to trade Kyrie Irving. You need someone who's a better perimeter defender. Maybe you look to the Clippers and you look for Chris Paul and they start to form that super team. I believe Dwayne Wade's a free agent. You could possibly try and get him to come to Cleveland and find a way to get Melo. If that's what LeBron wants, then maybe we can try that and have a super
team. Sounds
like
the hover around gang.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'd be an old group, but that would be, that'd be a team to, for at least the next couple of years to be right there. And we would have to see how they compete against Golden State and Oklahoma City and even San Antonio, because those teams aren't going anywhere, especially if Oklahoma State can keep Kevin Durant. So Cleveland's got to do something to get better, because the roster they have right now doesn't look like they're going to win them a championship. Maybe it'll just take more time, but we'll have to see.
All right, well, that's about all I got on the finals. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's about it. That's all I got. All
right, can we talk about Aqib Talib for a second?
I don't really have much, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, you know that he shot himself, right? Or he's
right.
saying that he's, or he is telling close friends that he shot himself. That is the report.
Right.
Okay. I don't know. I just don't understand how this happens. Didn't everybody remember what happened to Plaxico Burress? I just don't understand. You're in a club. I guess I can understand wanting to protect yourself, in certain situations. Being who you are, I also suppose, but I don't know. I just, shouldn't you be able to have a guy to like hold a gun for you if you're going to be out getting intoxicated?
You would think, but as we've seen, athletes are people and they make mistakes. And while those mistakes are put more in the public eye, you would think that they would be smarter about their decisions, but I don't know. I don't know what to say, because really things like this that happen anymore don't really surprise me.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like if you're going to be an athlete, why put yourself in the position to where you have a firearm and you are not of your full faculties or whatever?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I'm in no
but
way
then again,
to judge, but he's also 30 years old, makes millions of dollars. I mean, if that was me, I wouldn't have been out in the club in the first place, but people live their lives differently, and that's what he likes to do. And no fault in that, but, yeah, you would think that maybe someone else would be there to protect him maybe, but, yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, I guess that's really all I got. Anything else you want to talk about before we get into these picks?
No, did you have a ridiculously hot tweet this week?
I do, but I was going to save it.
You're going to save
but
it?
If you want to, we can talk about it. I might have to set it up, though.
All right. No, you can save it if you want. I don't care.
All right. So go ahead if you want to say yours.
All right, mine was actually, we talked about it earlier. It was from Ariel Helwani on June 5th at 12 a.m. Right before the UFC 199 main event. It was his tweet that, "I was escorted out of the building by Zuffa staff before the main event, credential taken away too. Didn't see Bisping realize his dream." Talked about it, but not something you want to see. Very unfortunate for Ariel, and not being able to get any interviews with Michael Bisping after one of the biggest moments of his life. And Ariel's been one of the guys that has always been right there to be able to talk to fighters. And I think that fighters actually like him, and very unfortunate for Helwani.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Okay, I guess I'll just say mine. Mine was tweeted by at Ninja Warrior to you. After you tweeted about the one and only Island Ninja finishing the qualifying course for American Ninja Warrior, and then of course hitting the dab on the little button buzzer to finish his run, and they definitely tweeted you with a gif of him hitting the button. I thought that was pretty awesome. And they said amazing moment. They were talking about the actual moment of him hitting the button, but I just thought the tweet itself was an amazing moment. I was pretty excited. Thought it was pretty good time.
Yeah, it was pretty great. And shout out, because they've given me 25 more followers for that. So thank you.
Oh man. Twitter is a fun place.
Yes, it is. So,
all right.
Away from 1,000. So, anyone out there, give me a follow.
All right. Well, all right. Let's get to these picks then. We've got Stanley Cup Finals Game 5 coming up. The Pittsburgh Penguins took a 3-1 lead over the Sharks tonight. They're heading back to Pittsburgh for Game 5, and I think that Pittsburgh closes it out.
Yeah, I have to agree. I thought if the Sharks won tonight, that it would be a different story, but Sharks weren't able to pull it out. So I think that the Penguins and Sidney Crosby are going to get their second Stanley Cup.
Yeah, definitely. All right, and then I guess we got Game 3 of the NBA Finals going back to Cleveland. Cleveland was originally favored in the game, but that has since changed. And last time I saw it was Golden State by 1. I'm sure it's probably even a little more than that by now. But I do think if the Cavs are going to win a game, it's going to be this game. So I'm gonna take them and hope that they can salvage at least a little bit of this series.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going Warriors. Cavs didn't show me enough. They actually showed me that they kind of quit in the last game, and they're going to have to show me to make me a believer anymore. So I think the Warriors are going to take a 3-0 lead.
All right. And then I guess next up we got a couple of baseball games. I think it's Wednesday. We've got Red Sox and Giants. David Price against Madison Bumgarner. Nice little pitching matchup there. I think I'm going to go Red Sox.
Tonight at 9:15, Price and Mad Bum are both 7-2, but Price has a 4.88 ERA, and Bumgarner has a 1.91. So I like the Giants. Also, Bumgarner could maybe hit one out of the park. So, yeah, give me the Giants.
Yeah. All right, and then next up we got Nationals and the White Sox. Should be James Shields' debut after they just traded for him. and the Padres are still paying a lot of his salary. But, I'm going to take Nationals.
Yeah, I also am taking the Nationals here. James Shields' debut, he actually had a pretty good season, got lit up in his last start. I think that's kind of what inflated his ERA. But did you also see the reports of him and Melvin Upton getting into it before he was traded?
No, I did not.
Oh, well, apparently Melvin Upton was shoving, and James Shields got in a shoving match, and Melvin Upton gave him some words that cannot be repeated on this broadcast.
All right. Well, I mean, that seems kind of hard to believe, at least for me and my understood experiences of teammates with James Shields. But, yeah, you never know. It's probably been a rough couple of years for him, not financially, but maybe baseball-wise. So hopefully he finds some sort of normalcy in Chicago and can kind of get things back on track.
But not too much.
But not too much. I was going to, yes. All right, got an
all
upset?
All right, do you have an upset?
I do. I'm going to say the Twins take 2 out of 3 from the Marlins.
Ow.
Yeah.
Dang. All right. Well,
so take that.
Giancarlo is going to have to step it up from his 202 batting average, but I hope you were wrong. All right. Are you ready for my upset? I'm about to
I am ready.
Here.
Okay.
All right. I think the 2-5 Phoenix Mercury are going to upset the 7-0 Minnesota Lynx tomorrow night or Wednesday night. No, tomorrow night. Yeah, tomorrow night. The Mercury, of course, led by Diana Taurasi, and the Lynx led by Maya Moore, two UConn stars. So we will have to see.
Are we sure that half the NBA just isn't UConn alum now?
I mean, it probably is, but.
All right, that's got there's got to be a good percentage of the WNBA probably went to or probably Huskies.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say that.
A decent number. All right. Well, anyway, we got a couple minutes left here. I guess anything else we got or
do we got a hot take?
Oh,
I got a hot take.
I don't know, since I guess the Cavs are going to win. Give me LeBron for 40.
All right. Mine is the Cavs are going to get swept. So by this time next week, we are not going to have any more NBA finals.
Yes. And so we're really going to have to start digging deep, finding things to talk about.
Yeah. We'll have some NBA drafts over the next couple weeks. Hopefully, we'll get a mock draft of the first 14 picks of the lottery, and we can do that. That should be pretty exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
And we also have a Hot Takes review show at some point. Not sure when we'll get that in, but we'll get that in eventually.
Yeah.
Hopefully
all right.
By episode 50.
Yes, hopefully. All right. Well, is there anything else you got?
No. No. Basically, I think that's gonna be a fun week in sports, like always. So, we'll see you next Monday.
Yeah, we will see you then. Signing off for Hot Takes.
We're out.
Right now.